It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And for the first time in quite a time,
together again,
with my buddy and co-host Mike Ward. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Sean. It has been. It's been 3 weeks, I think, or so.
Yeah.
Been several weeks.
Yeah, because you've been, you toured around. You've been in Alaska. You've been in Kansas.
Yeah.
You've been,
I've been going.
Yeah. So, although that's
and pretty, going back.
That's pretty good, but our guest is going to join us today. He probably has you beat on travel.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
I went up to Smoky Mountains. That's all I got. Y'all got the real story.
Hey, that's pretty good. Smoky Mountains.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you did that. See?
Yeah, see? That's it's because you're never around.
Yeah, I hadn't been.
Yeah, you're not around
for
anymore.
Sure.
On today's show, we're going to bring an old friend on the show and find out some new information from him. Always been a great guest on the show and a great friend. Chuck Sykes is joining us on this FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Chuck, thanks for being on.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
And let's talk about this. And normally, I would roll in the intro for Chuck Sykes before he'd come on, but that has changed. So before we get any further into talking about all these good things, let's talk about what has changed. Chuck, you got a new gig, man.
I do. I left the state on July the 1st and took a job with the Council to Advance Hunting and the Shooting Sports on July the 1st as their executive director.
Okay, so that title, that group, what do y'all do? A lobbying group? Who do you work with? How does that, what is the job?
Sean, what I've told a lot of people is the most important group for hunters and fishermen that y'all have never heard about.
That's what I was wondering.
It was formed over a decade ago by members of state agencies and NGOs and members of industry. And the sole purpose of this organization is to promote hunting and the shooting sports, the benefits that hunters and shooters provide for conservation. That's it. It's a pretty simple mission, very important purpose.
So is this a state thing or is this a federal thing?
It's an NGO. This is a national-based organization. Our mailing address is Washington, D.C. I'm lucky I get to work from Choctaw County, Alabama most of the time.
I was wondering. I didn't think you'd get along in Washington, D.C.
No, that's a good place to visit for a couple of days and then come back home.
Right.
Well, and that's something you had done in your position with the state, too. You traveled all over the place talking to groups. In this position, you're advancing shooting sports. Is that getting more people into it? Is it changing legislation at a federal level? What do y'all do to advance
it? It's all of the above. I mean, we do work in Washington. And, Sean, just in simple terms, I mean, I've been on a bunch of boards. I know you and Mike have as well. This board is as strong a board as I have ever been associated with. I was the chair of the board for a little while, the vice chair for a little while. So I've been associated with this group for years. But it's the CEO of the National Shooting Sports Foundation is one of my board members. The Archery Trade Association. There's six state agency directors. There's Ducks Unlimited, NWTF, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. I'm not going to name all of them because it's a big board, but Pheasants Forever, Isaac Walton League.
Wow.
I mean, it's as well as like Federal Ammunition, TriStar Guns. It's a pretty strong board that has tentacles into a lot of different areas, from industry with, gun and ammo manufacturing, all the archery side, to the critter group, NGOs, to state agencies. And one of the main jobs that we do is research-based basically teaching states, NGOs, and industry how to help improve the opinions of the public on hunting and shooting and conservation. And also, I mean, y'all know when I was a state director, R3 was the recruitment, retention, and reactivation of hunters and shooters was a big passion of mine. Mm-hmm. With our adult mentored hunting program, our Go Fish, our Firearms 101 classes, all of that. Well, this organization that I'm the executive director of now, that's what we do on a national level. So we take research and we help teach state agency employees and NGO employees and industry best practices for R3, basically. We are the go-to place for recruitment, retention, and reactivation.
So you're taking, you know, these things at work and somebody's coming to you and saying, hey, we want to do, you know, we need more people in the mix, and you're teaching them how to do it.
Exactly.
Which was an interesting thing, too. I remember years ago talking to you about this. We were, you know, always focused on the kids. We're going to get the kids hunting. And you pointed something out to me. You said, yeah, but if the parents don't hunt, right, the parents aren't
That's
involved.
True.
You take the kid on the one hunt, you do the thing, they're not going to get to hunt again unless the adults do.
That's right.
You are correct. There is a lot of different nuances to it because people today didn't grow up like we did. Mm-hmm. So we have looked at a lot of different ways to bring them along with mentor programs and things like that. So that's my staff basically, teaches state agencies and works with state agencies. We are a behind-the-scenes group. We are a facilitator to put practical research on how to change attitudes and motivations of what people need this day and time to appreciate what we do. And we help facilitate meetings with industries and agencies and teach their staff. I mean, we work with state agencies all over the country with best management practices.
Are the states, as you see it now in your new position, is it all the same issue, or is it different state by state on recruitment and all that? Is there a nuance to it, or is it all kind of the same?
Look, the basics are the same, but it is so many nuances. I mean, and think about this. You like to go hunt out west.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying in Alabama just to get more people hunting and fishing and shooting. Because I'm not saying we have unlimited resources, but we've got a lot of natural resources. Well, out west, you're applying for tags. There's only so much to go around. So doubling the number of people wanting to go is kind of a catch-22. Yeah, you want to increase participation, but also you don't want a bunch of frustrated people out there.
Yeah.
So, in some of the states, it's more of a campaign for public acceptance. Whether they hunt or not, they need to understand the benefits that hunters and shooters bring to conservation if they enjoy being outdoors and they enjoy wildlife. So each state is a little bit different. Our organization has two shared positions in the state of Alabama where we're working with the state agency. I helped put that together while I was there. We just partnered with the state of Wyoming to put on a shared position out there. We're working with Missouri and several other states early on in the process of getting people on the ground there to help the state agencies just with the volume of work that needs to be done.
Yeah. People in Alabama don't realize how blessed we are. Mm-hmm. They really don't. You go out west from Alabama, and everything changes out there as far as tags and
big. There's only so many critters, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Here, if you want to go hunting, you just go get a license, go hunting. It isn't that way out west.
No, sir, it's not. And you are right. A lot of people in Alabama take that for granted.
That's right. They do. We are blessed in Alabama.
Now, you can have, you know, by unpopular opinion, I'm joking here, but there is a little bit. Man, why are we encouraging all these people to get out and hunt? It makes it harder for me to draw a mule deer tag. Yeah. But, I mean, there's some truth to it. And you talk about, like, educating. I think about some of these western states where people have moved out of California, you know, the people that go to those places, and they bring all these other ideas into a state like, you know, 1980s. People in those western states understood hunting and fishing and the value. But now you got these cities out there, Chuck, that are full of people that don't get it.
And we're talking about the West, but y'all, it's not that different in Illinois or Ohio, where those larger cities are controlling what's going on. It's even though they're as rural as we are, the populations are in those urban centers that don't understand what we do, so it's a constant struggle to keep what we do in a positive light. So each state has their own challenges.
I mean, it's no different in Alabama. I mean, you have a lot of people in Alabama just don't understand hunting at all.
But maybe not as much as like in Ohio or something.
Yeah.
Hold on to that. We're coming right back. More of our conversation about his new gig for Chuck Sykes. Also, you went to Alaska.
Yeah.
You went to Kansas.
Yep.
Where did Chuck go over last month? We're going to talk about that in just a little bit.
No telling.
Yeah, he wins. Yeah. I'll put it that way. He wins. We'll talk more with Chuck when we come back right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you all along. And I should say this, and I'm sure he'll chime in as well, Chuck Sykes, well, happy hunting season. As of today, I mean, I know that, you know, there's other hunting can be done off season, but I mean, for me, the start of dove season, start of hunting season. Would you second that?
I would second that.
Chuck, would you third that?
Absolutely. I'm going here in just a little bit.
Good, yeah. good. It all gets started. And it's exciting. I mean, it's the older I get, I swear the summers go so fast. It used to take forever to get to hunting season. Now I'm like, wasn't it just turkey season?
Are you going to dove hunt your place,
Sean? Next weekend on South Zone.
Okay.
I have some birds right now.
You do?
I don't want to talk about it and ruin it. They'll hear me.
You went from 9 to how many?
Probably 75.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, they have multiplied.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But then, you know, I mean, a lot can happen as soon as somebody else decides they're going to prep their field and topsoil wheat. And it's a whole other conversation. All right. And it is the, I'm just getting used to it now. The executive director of the Council to Advance Hunting and the Shooting Sports, Chuck Sykes. So I'm just getting it. There we go. I learn new titles here. I want to say this too, as we look in the rear view for a second, I thought this was pretty special. And it's a SOA. We're talking about the SOA program and what you created with SOAs. An SOA that I have hunted, and I've told people stories. I hate to do this to myself, but one of the turkiest places I have ever hunted in my life, Cedar Creek SOA, is now the Chuck Sykes Cedar Creek SOA.
About that?
Yeah.
Congratulations,
so it's pretty
Chuck.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Thank you. It was a little overwhelming when they did that. That was very unexpected and extremely humbling experience.
Hey, actually, it's fancy. It says Charles Sykes, but we're just going to, I'll call. We're going to, you know, I'm going to put in for a hunt on the Chuck SOA.
Yeah.
I mean, that program, too, and, you know, people didn't realize that. There's been a big change in access, right? We're talking about how much more access we have here. But the quality of the hunts, one of the things out west, you say limited tags, all that, but there's some units, they're really holding back tags to make sure when you go, you have a heck of a hunting experience. You have a chance at a great hunt. That's kind of happened here at home with SOAs, Chuck.
No, absolutely. I mean, we don't have in Alabama the vast acreage that you do out west, the millions and millions of acres. We've only got 750,000-800,000 acres, which for us is pretty good, but you've got a lot of people that are using it, and the odds of buying 50,000-75,000 acres again is just not, it's not in the cards.
Those tracks aren't there.
At,
yeah.
We looked at smaller tracks in prime locations, but if you just open the gates and say, everybody come on, it's not going to be special too long. So yep. The SOA program was born out of that necessity to figure out a way to preserve those great hunting places and provide good public hunting opportunities.
Yep.
And it has been. Yeah. Everybody I know that's gone to any of the SOAs, they love it. And they all sign back up to go again.
Oh, yeah. The people that get drawn love it. The people that don't hate it and accuse it me of just letting my friends hunt it.
Yeah.
Well, I've been putting in, I'll say this as a comparison, I've been putting in for the SOA hunt since the first year, yeah. And I've drawn one.
Yeah.
And it was a heck of a thing for turkey hunt.
I know people that's been two or maybe even three times.
There's some people that are lucky.
Well, the son will get drawn and then the dad will get drawn or something, but... Anyway, I know some people have been at least two times, maybe three.
This comes from Mike Ward, a man that goes to any kind of outdoors banquet and ends up winning something in the raffle. I've never won a dang thing. All right, we'll get off that stuff. I did mention, too, you've been to Kansas, you do Alaska. Chuck has spent the better part of the vacation, I'm sure, from the new gig. Where'd you go hunting? Just somewhere nearby? Where'd you go?
Yeah, it was a little south of here.
Where's that?
We went to South Africa for a couple of days.
You don't go to South Africa for a couple of days.
He says it that way.
No, it don't work out that way. I know a lot of people go to Africa, and it's never for a couple of days.
This is not y'all's first time going, you and the wife. And I've looked at the pictures here from your recent trip with, my gosh, Cape Buffalo. Just awesome. Let's talk about this. I mean, you're from Choctaw County. We're from here. How hard is it to do? I mean, you're connected, look at your gig and stuff, but somebody listened to us that read the books growing up and always dreamed of this. Is it impossible? How hard is it to make this happen?
It is extremely simple. I'll just give you, most of the people that I've talked to, when they find out that we go, they look at me and say, I didn't realize you had that much money.
Right. That's the first thing everybody says. Yes.
Well, I don't. It's a lot more economical than most people think. And I'll just give you an example. A couple of years ago when we went, a friend of mine went on an elk hunt in Utah. He was on an elk hunt for 5 days. We were in South Africa for 10 days. He harvested one animal. We harvested 19.
Yeah.
The price difference was $1,000.
Wow.
The bad thing about that 19 is if you get them mounted, that's where the money comes in.
Well, that's, you know, you got to pay to play.
That's right. I mean, as far as the hunt, everybody, I've got lots of friends that's been over there, and I'll tell you this. There's not a one of them that's been over there one time that hadn't been back twice or three times or four times or going to go back again, period. They all love it and say it is a blast. You get to kill a lot of animals. But the negative part of it from all of them they tell me is it's your taxidermy bill and getting your animals back. That is the most expensive part of it.
It is, but as Sean said, we've been over there a couple of times, and look, we've made friends with the lodge owners. They come over and deer hunt with us in February when they're in the States doing the Dallas Safari Club show and the Safari Club International show. So we've got good friends over there. I've carried people who... They just wanted to go for the experience. They just went on a cull package, shot some animals that they never dreamed they would ever have the opportunity to do. They got a few European mounts and some rugs, and they were just as happy as they can be.
Yeah. And you don't have to get them all mounted. I mean, that's...
No, absolutely not.
You don't have to. But a lot of people do because they want to put them on their wall, and I don't blame them.
But and they're beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
It's just amazing that you're in one country. Sometimes, I don't know how many different concessions you hunted, but 19 different animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we think about out west, they got a bunch of different critters. You could never get all the tags at the same time. But there's no 19 big game critters to kill.
No.
You know?
I carried my bow this year.
Of course you did, Chuck. You're killing me.
And just playing. Now, this was not, I didn't want to go over there and sit over a water hole from daylight to dark or sit over a pile of oranges or whatever. So we were just walking and stalking. And I was within bow range of duiker, blue wildebeest, impala, warthog, buffalo, zebra, just probably 10 different species of animals I was within bow range of on spot and stall. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, you just made me. You just made me very nervous. So you're in bow range of Cape Buffalo. That made me, that whole all the rest is cool. That one makes me nervous.
Yeah, we were actually stalking a kudu, and we're going through a thicket. And usually we have a gun with us, but this instant we just said, "Shoot, we're just going after that kudu. We don't need a gun with us." So we're crawling through a little opening, and all of a sudden you see a bunch of oxpeckers.
He means the bird. He means the bird.
They're birds. They're birds that stay around Buffalo. And we kind of looked at each other, me and the PH, is like, that kudu's just not that important.
Yeah.
We slipped right back out to where we came from.
Wow.
I wouldn't go without a firearm. Because there are lions and tigers.
There's no tigers.
Wrong
continent.
They look like them. Anyway, there's lions and leopards
and shepherds. Cheetahs.
Yeah, cheetahs, whatever. And I'd have to have a gun with me.
Well, we usually have a gun with us, but we were just playing. Again, we've been over there enough, and we have done what we wanted to do. It's now a vacation for us. We go over there to see friends and take people with us that have never been. And I enjoy sitting around the campfire with folks that I carry over there and looking at their expressions when they come in from an afternoon hunt and reliving the first times with them is incredible.
I bet it is. That's got to be a heck of an experience.
And we may not finish this before the break, but just a quick, the logistics of getting there. How hard is it to get there?
We drove from Choctaw County to Atlanta, got on a plane in Atlanta, and when we stepped off, we were in Johannesburg.
That's pretty simple.
That's a direct
flight.
That's pretty good.
Heck, you can't get a direct flight anywhere in the United States.
Yeah.
You can get a direct one to Johannesburg.
Yep. So
and they pick you up there?
As long as you handle a 15-hour flight, you got it beat.
And up against the break, but they pick you up at the airport?
Yes.
Okay. It's pretty simple. All right, coming back, more with Chuck right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have you along with us on this opening day of North Zone Dove.
It's unbelievable. It's here already.
The season is here, man.
Yeah.
Well, the long wait is gone. And also our buddy Chuck Sykes, who is now the executive director of the Council to Advance Hunting and the Shooting Sports, our guest on this week's show. And we're kind of say what we're talking about during the news break there. And Chuck, I was asking you, and this is a kind of a real world answer you gave me, but why South Africa versus another country in Africa that allows hunting? Why do you go to South Africa?
I knew someone that I trusted that had been to a place, so I felt like it was going to be safe. and a good value. And then when I went over there the first time and started learning what was going on and what things were and made relationships with professional hunters and lodge owners and all that, again, we made friends. I mean, the two places that we hunt, they're both farmers, just like us. They're a little bit bigger than us. I mean, one's got 3,000 head of cows and about 11,000 head of sheep, and the other one's got, you know, 5,000 sheep and 1,000 cows. So little different scale, but we still have a lot in common. And I mean, they came over and deer hunted with us the past couple of years and spent a couple of days at the house and playing on the farm. So it's just good friends now.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. I mean, you know, I thought about it just going on that Osceola hunt, for me just going to state over, but being nervous about, you know, and I'll go with those guys always now because it was a good experience. So it's good to have somebody like Chuck, if, you know, you're ever thinking about it down the road, but he's trying to get me to go and I'd love to go, but to know that it is what it purported to be a lot. It means a whole bunch, you know, because
it's everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just like
whether you're going on a deer hunt, whether you're going on a duck hunt, you know, or whatever.
It's like me going to Kansas getting started. I guess went with somebody that I trusted that's been out there for 20 years. I knew he knew what he was doing, you know, so.
It's a great thing. And but once again, I mean, we talked about it and I want to talk about some stuff back home here, but it's just, I've been following Chuck and Gigi doing this for a while. And it's amazing to me that whatever you want to call it, the logistics of it. That's why I asked him about the airport and all that. Are a lot easier. I don't know. I just, in my head, I found it. I thought it was going to be like a real big pain. You know, I mean, you're traveling to another country and another continent.
You'd have to go through Europe and, go to another place.
And then you have to go find them and all that. But Chuck, you've got this thing. I mean, it's kind of dialed in.
Well, and they take care of things. Like when we land in Johannesburg, there's basically a hunter's bed and breakfast that we stay at overnight, and then we'll take like a little puddle jumper the next morning from Johannesburg to like going from Montgomery to Charlotte.
Okay.
And then they pick us up there. But this boutique hotel that we stay in, they had two guys not outside of the airport. When we came off of the plane, when we hit the terminal, they were standing there with a card with my name on it, waiting to escort us through the airport to get our bags, to go through customs. And then the next morning when they carried us to the airport, they took our bags, they made sure we got our tickets for this next flight, and was with us till we went through security. So
yeah.
Pretty special.
It's absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the other part you didn't say was you drove to Atlanta, and it's a straight flight from Atlanta to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nonstop.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
It's pretty special stuff. All right, so let's bring it back here. We're all excited. Dove season opens today, but wouldn't be talking to you this time of year. Not looking forward to October and on. What are you seeing on your place? For buck wise, what do you got? I mean, usually you've sent me some pictures each year, got me drooling of some deer you're looking at. What about this year?
Well, we did really good last year. We killed a 7-year-old, 3 5-year-olds, and had probably a half a dozen 4 to 6-year-olds that I had pictures of after the season. So man, I was really looking forward to August. Put feeders out, put cameras up. Sean, I've got one picture. I'm not one deer, one picture of one of the 6-year-olds, and that's it.
Man.
After we thinned and burned, there is ragweed and partridge pea and beauty berry and stuff head high for 250 acres. They're not coming to the feeders, which is a great thing for them. It's killing me because I'm not getting pictures of them. But
makes sense.
You know, they should be fat as a pig, happy as they can be, and ought to be in good shape.
Yeah,
I just got to find them.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, by the way, I won't even mention right now how jealous I am that you get a bunch of partridge peas. That's one of my favorites. But the idea is that, you know, I think about it because I burn too, and some of the studies have showed that the amount of forage you produce per acre, it was like maybe 3 acres of just burned equaled maybe 1 acre of a food plot or something like that. Chuck, you may be able to correct me on that, but you make just massive food plots. You got a 40-acre track you burned, you got a 40-acre food plot.
Yeah, and then some. And look, they like what Mother Nature provides first.
Yes.
And we've been getting periodic rain, so the stuff hadn't gotten depleted of nutrients. It hadn't gotten tough and dry. These little spotty afternoon hay showers have kept things in good shape. So, yeah, I have no idea what I've got running around out there right now.
So,
and then again, what about like acorns? Do you have a good acorn crop this year?
I have checked a couple of trees, and they are loaded.
Yeah. Well, that's going to make a difference, too, here in the next month or so when they start dropping. I'm sure, like, white oaks, they should start dropping, what, the end of September, 1st of October?
Well, I actually went by one of the little sawtooths that our daddy planted years ago. It's already dropping a few right now. My chestnuts and white oaks, they won't really get going until the first or second week of November, so I got time to find a deer between now and then.
Well, that'll happen.
That's one of the things that I do miss about hunting in the swamp like I used to. I think if you had to figure out your favorite deer hunts, it is definitely in my top three. Bow hunting on a swamp chestnut or a white oak,
yeah,
dropping, and you hear leaves crunching, and here they all come into the same bunch of trees. It may not be my favorite, but it's probably my favorite. It's maybe second favorite.
They're dropping too.
Yeah, the deer hear them dropping and they coming.
It's so exciting, Chuck. I mean, that's
absolutely so. You'll have to come up about that first week of November, and we'll hang off the side of a tree and see if we can shoot one over a chestnut.
Man, I miss it. Yeah, it's too much fun. As you kind of look to it, you know, different years we've talked about for antler development, and I know all sites are specific and all that. What do you think about moisture this year? I mean, some of the theories, you have a dry year, you get lesser antler development, wetter year, you get more. Do you believe in any of that, or do you think it manifests itself?
Sure it does. As long as their body's in good condition, then they can put more toward antler development. If it's hot, dry, not a whole lot of food, and they're just trying to keep their body in shape, then antlers are going to suffer. Absolutely.
You know, it's just weird thinking about it here. Yeah, I mean, back to the Western thing, they're all real focused on how much rain or snowpack they got, and it'll make a difference in these bunks here and there. And
especially in Texas.
You would never think until Chuck started talking about years ago. I guess it makes sense. If it happens there, it can happen here to some degree.
Yeah, here, it's just not as pronounced.
Yeah, well, here there is some water somewhere around where deer's at.
Yeah, but the stuff they're eating doesn't have the same.
Right, that's right. That does make a difference on the food source, also, no doubt. Do you have farming anywhere around you, Chuck?
No, sir.
Yeah, well, nowadays, most people don't have farming around them.
Yep.
And, you know, the people that do have farming around, I've got several really good friends that's got some good farming around them, and I want to tell you what, they kill some exceptional deer every year. I mean, it really makes a difference having that high protein year-round for them. They kill some, you know, and I'm going to say 140s, 150s, 160s on a regular basis, that's big deer for Alabama.
That's big deer for anywhere, Mike.
Right, it is, and they consistently kill that, but it's because of the food source they have. Agriculture and farming around them, and that's just the key to, it seems like, to kill big deer in Alabama.
Well, that and age. I mean, I figured out how I can get the age on them, but I'm dealing with pine plantations and some oak bottoms, and, you know, I just quit looking at that score several years ago. I'm just trying to shoot for age now. And I mean, I killed a 7-year-old deer last year with my bow that I've had pictures of since he was 3.
Yeah.
He didn't score 110.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. He was a 7-year-old over mature deer with a bow in Alabama. I mean, that's as good as it gets.
It is. That's all you can ask for, Chuck.
Now, well, we don't have time for the break. The old theory about getting that deer. Do you think, in a minute's time here, Chuck, getting that 7-year-old deer out lets more bucks move into an area? The old, like, one buck's going to run the others off. Do you believe in that?
Not really.
Okay. That's why I had to ask that question. All right. Yeah. Coming back, more questions for Chuck Sykes right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Reminder, too, not long off, what, in another week? Today's the 6th. Okay, coming up at the end of this month, no, before the end of the month, the Outdoors Expo.
Yes.
We're going to be out there doing the show live from the grounds. We'll talk more about that coming up in future shows. But just a reminder, go check them out online, G&D Farms Outdoor Expo on Facebook. It's going to be a big event. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have you all along with us. And happy hunting season, officially.
Yep.
North Zone Dove. It'll only be 90-something degrees.
92, I think, is where it is. It's been 85, 87, 80, you know, kind of nice.
I was going to brag on stuff, but I got nothing. I mean, you've been to Kansas, Alaska. Chuck's been to Africa. I was just saying that the other morning.
Where'd you go?
Not hunting, but hiking.
Yeah.
Mount LeConte in the Smokies.
Yeah.
Really cool place. It was 42 degrees when we got up on Sunday morning to hike down.
Hey,
that's awesome. Right up above Gatlinburg, so it's, yeah.
Well, I went to Alaska. I didn't hunt either.
Yeah, so, true. You know. True. There you go. Two of us.
But there you go.
I'm fixing to change that. Start hunting. Chuck, and once again, for people who didn't hear us at the beginning of the show, and they say, well, wait a second. They're not talking about state stuff with Chuck. Chuck is now the executive director of the Council to Advance Hunting and the Shooting Sports, and he is retired from the state. I got this question. Are you going to – how is that going to be? This is like talking to a coach, an old coach. How is it going to be when – things are happening with wildlife policy in the state, and you're not the one that's getting asked the questions.
You have to make your mind up. When you walk out the door, you walk out the door.
They don't call you every now and then, Chuck, though, and ask you a question or two?
Nah.
Dead gum.
Just wait.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that they haven't called you and said, hey, what about this? Y'all did this way. What about if we do it this way or something? I know they're going to miss you, Chuck.
I'm trying to stay out of it. Some are going to miss me. Some of them was dancing the whole time I was packing up my office.
Well, that's always, Chuck. It don't matter. You don't make everybody. You are not going to make everybody happy. I don't care if every day you came in, you gave them all a $100 bill. It don't matter. You're not going to make them all happy.
The only thing I had to do was do what I thought was right, where I could look at myself in the mirror, and that's all I was worried about.
That's all you can do. Because you were in the realm of politics. In politics, you are not going to make everybody happy, period.
If you do, the resource suffers.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of the resource, too, I do hope the things, and this will be me talking, you can be quiet or say whatever, but the things you put in trying to look forward on deer, but turkeys, too, I hope we continue in the state of Alabama. I hope we still have that forward thought to, hey, we got to manage for not just for us today, but for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the road. I can't imagine. I sat and thought about that one day, turkey hunting. I said, if there weren't turkeys to hunt like this, what a loss of quality of life in Alabama for a lot of us.
Yeah. But it can change in an instant too, Sean. I mean, I'll just go back to out west where there's Missouri or Kansas or Illinois, a lot of places out there, their turkeys are gone. I mean, they just died. Chuck, do you know why that happened out west?
No, sir. It's if you read social media, it was all my fault.
Well, sure.
So yeah. Chuck Sykes.
That is a problem. I tell you, I have, before I started hunting out in Kansas, a year or two before I started hunting out there, people would ride the roads and there'd be 100 turkeys in one field, look across the street, there'd be 200 turkeys, and go down the road in another field, there'd be 100 over there, and go down another half a mile, 2 miles, might be 300 or 400. A friend of mine told me he saw some in the field, it had to be 500 in a field. Now, that's a lot of turkeys, and now you go and there's none in a field, or two in a field, or four in a field. So things have drastically changed out west.
Too many rednecks from Alabama's been going out there.
Well, thank goodness it was before my time. I'm not, it ain't my fault.
Well, I do hope. I just, you know, going forward that we're, that there's attention being paid to what's next and next and next on turkeys. Deer, too. I mean, you know, with CWD and those challenges, but I do worry about turkeys.
Yeah. Like, well, we all do. We all love
12 months a year, I do.
Yeah. We don't want to see anything happen to our turkeys, that's for sure. But there are places in Alabama, I know, that don't have as many turkeys as it used to be.
Well, Sean, I'm going to let you and Mike handle that from this point forward. I've done my time in the barrel.
Well, you've done good. Chuck, you've done good. Well, we'll just appreciate everything that you have done for us in
100%,
the state.
100%. Yep. 100%. Now I'll just be on the harvesting side with Chuck.
Yeah,
that's right.
Get him to call for me out there. Also, looking forward to... you know, I'm thinking about, too, the schedule. It was the snow, and it didn't hit the whole state. But I was talking about that earlier, what we had in January, that big snow, the cold, and certain things in the woods that I see that were a little bit late. And yeah. I wonder how that's going to play out. You talked about the acorn crop this year, but I wonder if that plays out some during deer season. I wonder if the foods and where they go is late. You know, I don't know. I mean, my fawns dropped on the place at the right time, but, because that's by you know, the length of day and all that stuff. But I wonder if it's just things have been behind a little bit. In my garden, they were behind by 2 or 3 weeks. I wonder how that plays out this year.
I can tell you, my fruit trees have suffered from the snow. We've been through cold before, but the snow made the difference.
It did on my place. It killed every Satsuma tree I had.
Yeah, well, it didn't kill all of mine, but it damaged every one of them and killed three. So, yes.
Chuck, are you seeing anything in your woods that might be a little later than normal?
Everything looks, honestly, pretty good right now from what I can see. It's head-high ragweed right now. And like I said, I haven't studied all of them here lately. I'm trying to learn a new job and this, that, and other. So, over the next 6 weeks, I'll be spending a little more time, but the water oaks and stuff that I've checked, they are loaded, and the sawtooths are loaded. A couple of the chestnuts that I've looked at have a good number on them, so hopefully we'll be in good shape, although it will make food plot hunters very upset.
Yeah. Yep. That'd be, where are the deer? Well, they're in the woods.
Yep.
Then there'll be that time.
They're under the acorn tree.
There'll be some point in January that all runs out. And then you'll see them.
Yep.
That's right.
Chuck, man, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with us. And we will be checking back with you during the season, see if those, you know, some of those bucks have walked under that tree that you're hunting in.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Congratulations to your new job, Chuck. I hope you do great with it.
All right.
It's great to have him in that capacity as well. Yep. All right. We'll do it again next week. Y'all have a great dove hunt if you're going. And I'll see you next week.